This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A wildfire spreading across Southern California. ABC's Matt Gutman is there.
Ventura County under a state of emergency as the so-called mountain fire west of Los Angeles exploded in size. The mountain fire growing to over 20,000 acres in just 36 hours. Lower winds late Thursday allowing firefighters and fleets of helicopters to pour resources on hot spots. But at one point early on, the fire, turbocharged by hurricane force Santa Ana winds, burning 2,000 acres an hour.
Jewish soccer fans in Amsterdam say they were targeted following a match in which the team from Tel Aviv was playing. Dutch and Israeli leaders denouncing the violence as anti-Semitic. Five people were hospitalized and more than 60 people are under arrest. Trump campaign manager Susie Wiles has been tapped as President-elect Trump's chief of staff, the first woman to hold that job in the White House. Other names mentioned, possibly Florida Senator Marco Rubio to serve as Secretary of State. This is ABC News. One of the most recognizable voices online has died.
You may not know his name, but if you were on the early internet, you almost certainly know his voice.
You've got mail.
Elwood Edwards, the man behind the AOL email alert sound, died this week at his home in North Carolina. And while he also voiced other messages for the service, like
welcome
and
goodbye,
it was the You've Got Mail soundbite that Edwards came to be known for. It was even the name of a 1998 Nora Ephron romantic comedy.
You've got mail.
Edwards was 74. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
A guilty plea expected today from the owners of a Colorado funeral home. The married couple charged with abusing hundreds of corpses. They are accused of piling 190 bodies inside a room temperature building outside Colorado Springs and giving grieving families fake ashes. The discovery made last year after people reported a stench coming from the building. The two pleading guilty to federal fraud charges last month. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Our record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes. With limited incomes not keeping up with the lingering effects of inflation, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.kwwf.org.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Thinking about heading to the theater this weekend? Here are some films that might be up your alley. Hugh Grant stars in Heretic, a film about two young missionaries who knock on the wrong door and end up fighting for their lives in a house owned by the nefarious Mr. Reed, played by Grant. The film is getting mad reviews at 94% on Rotten Tomatoes. Check out another film in wide release this week called Weekend in Taipei. It has kind of a Mr. and Mrs. Smith feel to it, but reviews are very mediocre so far. If you want to get a jump start on your holiday movie watching, you have two choices. Best Christmas Pageant Ever is being released wide and pulling in 86% on Rotten Tomatoes, but has a 100% favorable audience score. Another Christmas film in limited release this weekend is Christmas Eve in Miller's Point, a comedy drama starring Michael Cera and Elsie Fisher, where a family descends on their home for the final time. The film is currently getting an 86% on Rotten Tomatoes. If you're scoring at home, that sounds like four winners to me, so let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Bucks beat the Jazz. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks with a 123-100 win over the Utah Jazz last night in Milwaukee. That ended the Bucks' six-game losing streak. Now tonight, they're in New York to play the Knicks at Madison Square Garden before returning here when seven of their next eight games are at home. Doc Rivers asked, was it important to finally get a W?
Yeah, you know, it was a home game. We've lost two home games, so really important for us to win this game. We go back out on the road, and then when we come back, we get to actually stay at home.
College hoops, the Badgers with with a 79-67 victory over Montana State. Guard John Blackwell on Wisconsin finding a variety of ways of putting up points.
We try to get to the free throw line as much as possible. Like last game, I think we're in double bonus early, and this game we're in double bonus. So whatever we can do to get free points from the line, I mean, we're trying to do that.
The state high school volleyball tournament going on in Green Bay. Middleton versus Hamilton tonight for the boys' state title. Girls' semifinals today with their state title game tomorrow night. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Mostly sunny today with a high in the mid to upper 50s this afternoon. Tonight will be partly cloudy with a low dropping into the mid 30s. Tomorrow we may see a little sunshine early, then clouds and showers with a high in the mid 50s. By Sunday, showers in the morning, ending in the afternoon with a high in the mid 50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 40.
Maggie Dawn.
Matt Rothschild guest hosts the Maggie Dawn Show, and he'll be joined by Terry Barr for what's good, local, and overlooked in Wisconsin.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Thank you, Don Rue. Good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 7:06. Nice to have you along on this Friday morning, November 8th. All right, let's see, coming up this hour, we've got a special guest in just a moment here. Kirk Bangstead from the Minocqua Brewing Company is going to reveal the new flagship beer from the Minocqua Brewing Company, so we'll learn more about that. We'll talk to former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel about the impact of Donald Trump's victory, everything from the crumbling of the investigations into his election interference and classified documents to the ways that Trump will try to use executive orders to essentially become that dictator on day one that he has promised everybody that he would do. We'll talk to Mark Jacob about media coverage of election night and the run-up to it. We'll talk to Dan Schumacher about sports, but we will talk first, as always, at this time in the morning, to Brittany Merlot, our meteorologist, to tell us all about what's coming up this weekend. Ms. Merlot, good morning.
Good morning, TGIF, first and foremost.
Amen. What do we got going?
Beautiful day today. High pressure system in place. A tad bit breezy on occasion, but high temperatures today making it into those 50s all across the state and near 60 degrees the further south and west that you live. So it is going to be a beautiful day out there. It's going to continue through early tomorrow morning, but then those clouds are going to start to increase as the next system approaches. So we will become cloudy by tomorrow afternoon with some very light rain pushing into the western areas, working its way around dark towards the east, and of course continuing through the overnight and still lingering on Sunday morning, mainly into the north woods and the northern half of the state. That will push on out of here by Sunday afternoon, and then we'll see some clearing and a brighter start to next week. But highs this weekend will be in the low to mid 50s, which is quite mild. We've just got those dreary skies pushing in. So soak up the sunshine today while it's here.
Great day for here. It occurs to me that if somebody were about to take some time off and were maybe traveling and were maybe hoping to make a connection in Denver today, where there's currently a winter storm warning, in effect, mm-hmm. that travel might be what they used to call a character builder today.
Yeah, so it sure will be.
We'll see how that goes.
I'll just reschedule it for tomorrow and enjoy today.
I'm having a feeling that there might be an alteration to today's travel plans, but we will see. So I appreciate that tip. It may come in handy.
Thank you, Brittany. Fingers crossed. I hope you get out of here, Pat.
All right. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
You too.
All right. 7:09 right now. Happy to say that the Milwaukee Bucks snapped their 6-game losing streak, so they are now 2-6 on the season after beating the Utah Jazz 123-100 last night. Damian Lillard had 34 points. Giannis had 31. They are in New York tonight to face the Knicks. Then they are back home on Sunday afternoon to host the Boston Celtics. There's also plenty of Badger sports to tell you about all across the Civic Media Radio Network. Not the football team. They're off this weekend. But the basketball team is playing Appalachian State on Sunday. You can catch coverage starting at 10 a.m. on Civic Media stations in Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, Racine, Kenosha, and Richland Center. The Badger men's hockey team hosts the Minnesota Gophers tonight on WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. Tonight at 6:30, tomorrow at 5:30. You can find that on the Civic Media app as well. And don't forget, you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Unabashedly Wisconsin News, head over to upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the banner up at the top of the homepage. Today's edition includes an article about PFAS. And we've talked about PFAS a lot in the water. We've kind of referred to these industrial chemicals and how Republicans in the legislature continue to hold you hostage to getting your drinking water cleaned up. Maybe that will change now that we've elected a new legislature. But what's the real background on PFAS? That's in today's newsletter, along with 10 restaurant ideas. Maybe you need a break. Maybe you need a little road trip. Here are 10 restaurants around the state that might be worth making a first visit to. Find that in our newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. At 7-Eleven, it's time to tune into one of those central figures of what you might want to call the resistance. That, of course, would be Kirk Bankstead of the Minocqua Brewing Company, who joins us now because he's got some news to share about a new flagship brew for the Minocqua Brewing Company. Mr. Bankstead, good morning. How are you?
Hi, Pat. It's been a long time, my friend. I'm sad we're getting together under these circumstances.
Oh, I mean, you say that every time we get together, but at some point you'll be happy to see me. No, this is all about the results of the election. And basically, look, there was always going to be a fight. You know, when you say the fight goes on, there's always a fight that goes on for this thing or that thing. There's just going to be a little more of them now. They have to be waged. They have to be fought by good people who are willing to try to, obstruct bad things that are going to be happening, whether by executive order or law. You know, we've seen everything from book bans to, I mean, you name it. And that's something that you've been very central in. And the Minocqua Brewing Company has been a big part of that. So what is it about this week's events that has made you decide to come up with a new flagship brew?
Well, so, I mean, like, I think most people, I woke up on Wednesday and I was in a fog. I couldn't believe it. And, you know, I wasn't overconfident, but I just thought so many of us had put in the work that needed to get done to get Kamala, get Harris Waltz in. And so I just was stunned. My first thought was, I can't do this for another 4 years. You know, I've been fighting a long time and it was hard to think about having to do it again for 4 years.
Amen. People are tired. I mean, you saw Jimmy Kimmel, like you, getting, you know, misty eyed, just having to think, why do we have to keep doing this? But we do. And I mean, we at large. And individuals, the message that's been getting out this week is take a break. If you got to take a break so that you can come back again and stand up for what you believe in. Don't walk away for good. And not everybody is you, Kirk. Not everybody has a surfboard where they can still, at your advanced age, like surfing so much and you haven't broken your neck yet. But when you're back in this fighting and after you've, you know, fought back some raw emotions, where are you going next?
Yeah, so we're definitely going to Costa Rica again. I should have booked it today, like you're getting out of here, but it's going to be, you know, second half of January when nobody drinks beer anyways.
So where's the company going next?
The company, we had a label for a Pilsner all ready to go, and it was called Madam President. And it was so... It celebrated all the historic figures in the Black community that enabled, you know, potentially enabled a Black woman to become president. And it was a glorious label. And I was looking forward to celebrating with so many different people. And it didn't happen. So after I pulled myself together on Wednesday, and after I decided I wasn't moving to Paris or Costa Rica, which that flashed through my mind, like I think it did so many people, you know, that possibly had that option. I was like, we got to keep going. You know, I'm an American, I'm a Wisconsinite, and it's an important state, you know? And so we, so I called up my graphic designer and, you know, in this fog, I said, we got to make a new label and it's got to be called The Resistance because, you know, I just thought about, you know, Vichy France when Nazi Germany took them over and it's called Viva la Résistance. And, you know, it feels like it feels like we're going to have to organize, you know, and resist what's coming. And so I put Teddy Roosevelt, Franklin Roosevelt, George Washington, and Abraham Lincoln on this can. They were all protecting the Statue of Liberty. It makes me sad just to talk about it. But all those presidents saved America in our greatest time of need. And they saved us. Washington saved us, said, beware of demagogues. Well, we've got a demagogue. Lincoln, while saving us from the Confederacy, freed the slaves. We've got a lot of minorities that are going to be suffering, that need freeing or need people to help them. Teddy Roosevelt saved the middle class and the working class from the monopolists, the trusts, the Carnegies, the Vanderbilts. Well, we got to have people save us from the Elon Musks and the Zuckerbergs. And then finally, FDR, Franklin Roosevelt, saved us from fascist Germany and Jewish genocide. And fascism has just come to America. So I can't think of a better beer than The Resistance. And so it's Pilsner for true patriots. That's what we're calling it.
Pilsner for true patriots. I like that. And by the way, a lot of this is written on the label. I'm looking at the new label right now. It is beautiful. Again, for folks who purchase your beers, it helps in part fund some of the fights that lie ahead legally.
Yeah, we're going to the super PAC is we're going to continue. We're going to figure out what's needed most in Wisconsin, in America, but primarily Wisconsin. And we're going to rejigger what we're going to do. I was so looking forward to getting back into the fight. And it's possible that's what we do. I was so looking forward to get back into the fight on fixing our public schools and getting rid of the private school voucher system. I wanted to wait until after the election because I didn't want to divert attention from that important election. Now I'm not so sure if that's the most important thing that Wisconsin needs. So we're going to, you know, where everyone's going to take a little break. I'm going to have a lot of conversations. We're going to keep on selling beer and stuff through the holiday season so that we can shore up the company, but we will still be an activist company Wisconsin, and we will be fighting for what's right.
That's what you do. It's at your core. At the core for all of us here. So look up the Minocqua Brewing Company to learn more about The Resistance, the new flagship brew, and all that the Minocqua Brewing Company Super PAC does. Kirk, I cannot believe I got you up this early, finally. So thanks for the early morning visit. Carry on, and we'll visit again soon, probably at a later hour over a beer, but it'll be good to see you again.
Awesome, Pat. Keep on doing what you're doing, man. I appreciate it.
All right. You take care. When we come back, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel is going to talk about those things that need resistance, the executive orders that Donald Trump is sure to put out on day one. What do we need to know about it without necessarily having to be have the brain power of a former U.S. attorney? He will explain it all to us and talk about Trump's legal woes, if they really are all gone for good, in a minute. Coming up after this break, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Friday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Eagle 1490 AM.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up.
Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
I had somebody recently in one of the classes I was teaching saying to me, I don't do politics, Mr. Santo. I don't spend all my time watching MSNBC and reading the opinion columns. I get that.
You might not do politics, but sooner or later, politics is going to do you. Yeah. You got to have some basic level of understanding of what government is about and how it functions and a little bit of the history of it.
You need to do enough.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI Overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Send lawyers, guns, and money. Dad, get me out of this. Ha!
Welcome back to Up North News Radio for this Friday morning, November 8th. 7:21 is the time, and former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel joins us now. You can hear Jim every Saturday morning at 9 across several Civic Media stations for Amicus, a law review. And if you haven't been listening, you better start. I think we're in for a new law education with the incoming Trump administration, different than the law education we needed for his criminal misdeeds. Now it's going to be the things that he tries to get done through something called executive orders. Jim Santel, good morning.
Pat, always a pleasure with you and Greg. And yes, indeed, next 4 years, a great national study in constitutional law, probably the powers of the presidency, what can and can a president do not do as we go forward here.
Yeah. And, you know, these are the things that don't get covered in Schoolhouse Rock,
right,
you know,
right.
Because we're used to a bill becoming law. Mm-hmm. But somewhere along the line, and I mean, presidents are executives. They've always had some kinds of executive authority. But over the generations, it has changed. So I hope you can take us back to the beginning here when we say, what exactly is an executive order? In the way that we talk about it in this day and age.
Sure. So we've had many of them recently. And interestingly, this is a check and balance type issue under our Constitution, a fight, if you will, between the president and the Supreme Court with the Congress, which should be doing a lot of this work, sort of standing on the side as well. The notion is that a president says, I would like to do something in the area of, you fill in the blank, could be the environment. We've seen Joe Biden do a lot of that. Could be healthcare, could be education, could be commerce, all kinds of things, arguably subject for another day, when Abraham Lincoln, about whom you were just speaking, issued the Emancipation Proclamation, basically amending the Constitution, freeing slaves. That was an executive order. He did that by the stroke of a pen. And the point is, it's not legislative, it's not judicial. And there's the rub, because again, in recent years, for both the Democrats and Republicans who've occupied the White House, this has been a source of some frustration, and it's come at the direction and the opinion of the United States Supreme Court. Basically, the Supreme Court saying in many instances that this is beyond the authority of presidents to do. John Roberts has articulated something called the major questions doctrine. We saw it during the pandemic as well. He said, if indeed what the president is doing is new and it's big, it cannot be done by a president. It has to be done by the legislature. They're the ones who make the laws. Presidents can't do it. We'll see if those same principles apply as Donald Trump consolidates power in the days and weeks and months and years ahead.
Yeah, I mean, look, it takes us all the way back to what? Marbury v. Madison.
Absolutely.
And, you know, when can, what is exactly is the check and the balance from branch to branch of government, and at what points can a branch say, you know, try and stop me? And frankly, that's been part of the concern about Trump coming in with a flurry of executive orders, is the mindset behind that is, well, the Supreme Court can say we can't do it, but the Supreme Court doesn't have a police department or an army to come make us stop doing that. Most presidents have had enough respect to not do things once the Supreme Court tells them no. But I do have concerns that even though there are three Trump-appointed justices, that even in those instances where the Trump-appointed justices say, no, you can't do that, they're going to say, well, come make me.
Right.
That's a valid concern, isn't it?
It is. It is the old phrase, you and what army, as you've just indicated, right?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And it is a stunning part of our national tradition, if you think about it. All these major rulings and privacy rights and voting rights and all sorts of things, we follow what the Supreme Court says because they issue a piece of paper and they tell us this is going to be the rule of law in America. It is a remarkable thing. We'll see about the extent to which Donald Trump continues to follow that, if indeed the Supreme Court does clip his wings a bit as he goes forward. And you know, Pat, the big one coming up here, we saw it once before. It has to do with the civil service. At the end of his last term, in those last days, he issued something called Schedule F, basically limiting the civil service, all the people who work on behalf of you and me and Greg and all your listeners, basically getting rid of that and turning them into at-will employees. He's promised to reintroduce that. That will change dramatically the way that government works, consolidating power in his White House and changing our connection with the people who work with us in all kinds of agencies. That'll be challenged, certainly, but we'll see what the Supreme Court says and other courts say about that and many other things when it comes to these executive orders that he is now set to go. They're writing them right now. They're already written right now.
They're written. They're
ready to be signed on January 20th.
Yep. Jack Smith has said that he's winding down the criminal cases against Donald Trump. Is there anything left between now and January 20th in terms of legal accountability for this guy, or it, for all intents and purposes, did the election results give him the not just get out of jail, but the get out of court card that he wanted?
Right. I say this with great disappointment. I think the latter is true, Pat. As to those two federal cases, the federal insurrection case, interference case in Washington, and the Mar-a-Lago documents case that's in front of Eileen Cannon, I am hopeful that it's not this Department of Justice that dismisses those cases. Why? Because I want an opinion from Tanya Chutkan saying that, in fact, that immunity decision from the Supreme Court did not prevent the prosecution of that case going ahead in Washington, D.C. And I'd like to see an 11th Circuit opinion telling Eileen Cannon that, no, in fact, you cannot dismiss a case like that. Just for precedential value, both of those cases, one way or another, will go away. They will not survive beyond January of 2025. And even the state cases. New York, here's the interesting fact as we gather together. 18 days from now, the president-elect of the United States of America is going to be appearing in a Manhattan court, a criminal court, to be sentenced for 34 felony counts of falsifying records. That is a stunning historical thing to say and think about. That one and the case in Georgia, those have better chances of surviving. Why? Because they're not federal cases. Those are both state cases. Both of them, however, are subject to an awful lot of appellate work, including that case in Georgia, which is right now up on appeal as to the authority of Fannie Willis to go ahead. It's going to be a long time before even those are resolved. And there's also an issue about whether or not states can effectively prosecute a sitting president. Lots and lots of things to be litigated here in the future,
which we will continue to follow on Amicus, a law review Saturday mornings at 9 with former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. Thank you, Jim, so much.
Pat, always a pleasure. We'll talk again soon. Take care.
All right. Have a good weekend. Mark Jacob joins us next to talk about media coverage of election night and the disastrous run up to it in terms of coverage. You're up north.
Guns and money. Dad, get me out of this. Ha!
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
After the election, the Wisconsin legislature doesn't look the same. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Friday. All 99 assembly seats were up for grabs, and half of the state's 33 Senate seats also were up for contention. How did Wisconsin agriculture's voice end up? We'll find out next.
Now's the time to get right with Pivot Bio Nitrogen. The right source, at the right rate, at the right time, in the right place. Sounds good, right? And now is the right time to act. With zero payments, zero interest, and zero worry. Until December 1st, 2025, on the best source of nitrogen. Get right with Pivot Bio. For more information, visit PivotsProvenIt.com. That's PivotsProvenIt.com.
State Representative Travis Tranel from Southwest Wisconsin is one of those that kept his assembly seat. He chaired the Assembly Agriculture Committee last year. He says his Republican caucus has a slimmer majority this go-around and that not all agriculture leadership will be back at the state capitol.
We did lose some strong rural Wisconsin advocates, and that is that's a tough pill to swallow. We actually lost the chair of the Ag Committee in the Senate, Joan Ballwig. I had the pleasure of serving with her for a number of sessions in the Assembly before she moved on to the Senate. And so we lost some good members, but like I said, we retained some great members, Tim. And then we got some new members, too. Duke Tucker in Western Wisconsin is going to be coming into the Assembly, has an ag background and understands agriculture.
State Representative Travis Tranel, he said while on the campaign trail, he heard from farm constituents that want to see even more funds invested in the ag road improvement projects. And he also said many people still concerned about large-scale renewable energy projects in their neighborhood.
As the weather changes, it can start to impact feed quality. Don't let your cows become the victims of the ration roller coaster. Adding Generator Elite to your herd's ration can introduce beneficial microbials that support gut health and help the herd navigate the highs and lows of feed quality, all while using less than an ounce per day per cow. Learn more about Generator Elite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, innovation, that's BioVet.
And entries are already starting to come in for the U.S. Champion Cheese event, March 4th through the 6th in Green Bay. New this year are entry classes for sour cream, low-fat sour cream, and cultured dairy dips, kind of reflecting the industry's growth. They'll have a total of 117 distinct categories that will be judged. Again, the U.S. Champion Cheese event, March 4th through the 6th at the Resch Expo Center in Green Bay. I'm Pam Yonke.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny today with a high in the mid to upper 50s this afternoon. Tonight will be partly cloudy with a low dropping into the mid 30s. Tomorrow we may see a little sunshine early, then clouds and showers with a high in the mid 50s. By Sunday, showers in the morning, ending in the afternoon with a high in the mid 50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 39.
Wisconsin Decides 2024, and this is the only place you received election results from across the state live.
And you're responding to our coverage.
I just want to thank you for being there for us.
Wisconsin is not people that are sore losers.
Well, no matter what happens, there will be a tomorrow, and that's what I'm looking forward to.
Here for you after the election or any time.
Real news and great conversation on 1490 WLCX and the Civic Media app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Jeannie from Eau Claire.
I am thankful for Civic Media, the on-air talent, the technicians, the producers, the news staff, and especially Mr. Sage Wild. It's a very, very sad, shocking day for me, yeah. But I still have hope because I have hope in you guys. Keep up the great work.
Thank you,
bye.
Jeannie. You give us hope. Appreciate you listening.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will be recombobulating yet again with Dan Schaefer. Lots of stuff to process yet. I hope you will join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
It was 12 o'clock.
Delbert McClinton, who had a birthday, what, last week? And Bonnie Raitt, who has a birthday today. Great duet there to take us into our Friday morning. Final half hour of Up North News Radio for this week. Bringing in Mark Jacob. You can catch his newsletter at stopthepresses.news, along with his video series with Stephen Beschloss Media Misses. Mark Jacob is here now from Chicago. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing okay. Thanks for having me, Pat.
Yeah, it's a new era. Never better.
It is a new era. Yeah,
it's amazing how quickly we're going to go from this terrible economy to what a great economy this is. I feel like it's going to happen at like right at noon on January 20th. I sense. I mean, inflation 2.1%, unemployment 4%, GDP is 3%. The manufacturing is booming. I mean, what a great economy we're going to talk about next year, not this year, apparently.
Yeah, well, you could just place bets on, you know, will it be the first week or the second week or the third week where Trump will say that his economy is the strongest in the world.
Yes.
And, you know, Pat, I feel like, you know, when there's all these postmortems about, you know, why the Democrats got whacked so badly and, you know, and a lot of theories. But one of the things that I think is really key is the economy. And I felt like the Biden administration didn't fight back on the economy early on in his administration, the first couple of years, you know, when you had inflation spiking. And you had inflation spiking for pretty logical reasons. You know, you'd pumped a bunch of money into the economy to make up for the economic disruptions of the pandemic. And you also had price gouging. You had corporations taking advantage of that. And so, but you had this kind of no messaging or no really ineffective messaging from the Biden administration about that, which allowed Fox News and the Republicans to just say the Biden economy, it's terrible, it's terrible, it's terrible. And therefore, when inflation eased and when you saw, you know, that miraculously we avoided a recession after all this economic dislocation, that the Biden administration couldn't take adequate credit for it. And to me, the narrative was already written that this was all the negatives, the irrational negatives about the Biden administration were already set in stone.
I love the way that you put it in a post last night. It's amazing, you write, that every single person in Democratic politics knows what went wrong in this election, and yet none of them knew how to keep it from happening just a few days ago. I mean, if there's one thing they do well, it's navel-gazing, second-guessing, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. Oh, well, I can explain to you why this didn't happen. And yet, you know, you could have. It is amazing how that is. You know, there's a lot of second-guessers. You know, yeah. I guess in some ways a professional second-guesser. But there are a lot of reasons. And but another thing, just, you know, as a person who tracks media so, you know, pretty carefully, I think that the real takeaway is in two words. It's propaganda works. I feel like that, and in my newsletter for next week, I'm probably going to write about Fox News, because I think it's really important what happened in the last quarter century and how they have systematically created this audience and kind of cocooned this audience to not believe any outside facts, you know, to in effect kind of create their own reality and protect their audience from an intrusion by actual facts. I mean, it's been amazing. It's been incredibly successful, and I think that explains a lot of what's going on right now.
I do see a sea change coming in the media in this way. Long before this race really got going, there was the discussion of, look, Trump's going to be the nominee. Let's focus on the stakes, not the odds.
Right.
And week after week after week, we kept seeing, like, they're not figuring it out. They're not learning. They don't get it. They're doing the same garbage. And I think that as a result, I mean, what Jeff Bezos wrote has now become a self-fulfilling prophecy when he talked about, well, people don't trust the media. Well, congratulations. Yeah, you helped make that happen, which takes me to this point. And obviously, I feel like, you know, I'm already part of, you know, two two groups that are part of the solution here. But you shared a post from Brian Tyler Cohen who talked about how Democrats need to embrace year-round progressive media, right, not just knocking on doors and hoping, you know, 2 weeks before an election and hoping independent media does it. There frankly need to be more from Courier Newsroom, more Courier Newsrooms, more civic medias that are out there, right, with the caveat that those things, what we do, is rooted in fact. It is advocacy, amen, journalism that has values and doesn't make stuff up.
Right. That's the total thing. And I think that the whole idea of completely objective media is just a myth. I mean, clearly not. I was an editor at the Chicago Tribune. I assigned stories. Well, I didn't assign every story that was available in the city of Chicago. That's ridiculous. I picked 10 stories and said, okay, well, that's good. We're going to cover these. And that was a value judgment. That was me deciding what I thought was important to the audience and what I thought was important to the city. And so, but it wasn't objective. It was me making a subjective judgment. And so I don't think there's anything wrong. Frankly, I don't think there's anything wrong with Fox News being a conservative news outlet. Fine. If they want to like view it that way and deal with it, that's fine. It's just they need to deal with facts. And that's why, as you just said, left-wing or progressive or whatever you want to call it, center-right or just pro-democracy media need to be, make sure that if they're going to, like, you know, if they're going to come from a value standpoint, if they're going to say, yes, we are worried about climate change, yes, we think their abortion rights are appropriate, et cetera, they need to really you to the facts. They need to not make stuff up. And that to me is the only different, like Courier clearly is a progressive, you know, news outlet, but it sticks to the facts. I mean, its reports are fact-based. They're not like making up stuff like Fox is about post-birth abortion and stuff that doesn't even exist. And that's the difference to me.
It is. It's a huge difference. And it's what, for as long as I've been doing this, I've been telling people to try to have a kind of more of a balanced media diet. You should subscribe to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. You should subscribe to the New York Times. I actually, for the first time, have watched people say, I'm canceling my subscription. Right. I finally did it. I canceled my subscription to the Washington Post after I don't know how many years. Mm-hmm. But that editorial thing and the Bezos letter put it over the top. And there are great journalists who work there. Yeah. I mean, Patrick Marley is must reading. And people would say, well, now you're not supporting the journalists. I know. And at some point, I had to make that decision. And I think the decision I'm going to be making next year is to be very explicit and say, you need to take that money out of a Washington Post subscription and you need to send it to places like Courier Newsroom that don't have a paywall, are never going to have a paywall, but they're going to need financial support.
And the thing, important thing about Courier is that, and that's, you know, why I'm affiliated with Courier, is that they're going after people who aren't news junkies. They're going after people who on social media, who are, you know, some people like to call it low information voters. I hate that term. I prefer to call them underreached people. And that means, to me, that means that it's up to the media. It's not the person's fault that they're not getting the information. It's up to the media to actually get to them with understandable facts. And I think that's so important, because right now we have the thing where 1% of our population gets really good news from, you know, big outlets that have paywalls, and the rest of people are getting, you know, garbage.
Yeah. A great example of that I heard on, I believe it was on Todd Alba's show yesterday. Somebody was talking about how their niece has like a child's iPad, like it's programmed to only get like child apps and things like mm-hmm. that, but you can still buy ads. And there were these anti-trans ads, things that were definitely not child appropriate, mm-hmm. but they were able to buy ads in these apps that showed up on children's tablets. And so that's bad enough on its own, but it makes the point that you were just getting at, and that is pushing messages to people wherever they are. Right. Now, I don't think it should be children's iPads necessarily, but what I'm saying is, there's a lot of cracks and crevices out there to put messages, to put news, rather than waiting for people to come to you for the news.
Right. And expecting, you know, that if, pretending that the entire population is reading the op-ed section of the New York Times is stupid. Mm-hmm. And people need to understand, you know, the Republicans were a lot smarter this time around in going to kind of these kind of bro happy podcasts and stuff like that. And it mattered. I think, you know, finding people where they are and trying to talk to them is really important.
Yeah. Thank you, Tony, up in Ashland, for correcting the record he puts on YouTube. It was our producer, Aaron Zommers, who said it on Todd's show, and he was talking about his niece. That's right. Thank you, Tony, for that. And Tony also notes that Civic Media would be a good place to send money and that there is a donate page on there as well. And that again, is something, you know, people gotta put their money where their values are when it comes to, you know, their media subscriptions. Let me ask about one thing. Just, we got to get to the X's and O's of what a Trump administration is going to look like. We spoke before with Jim Santel about executive orders. So I think current media needs to do more to explain what's about to come. Don't be reactive, be proactive. And specifically, and Jennifer Scholze puts this up again about this whole thing of mass deportation. At no point has Trump been challenged of how are you going to make this work? What are the details of it? And we're still waiting.
Right. And what's the disruption in the economy going to be like, the local economies?
Right.
You know, I mean, I live in Chicago. There are a lot of immigrants. They do a lot of work. And, you know, and what's going to happen to businesses when they can't, you know, get people to do things? So it would be a giant disruption. Plus, what I'm really concerned about is whether media are going to have access to any of these like mass camps that they've been talking about building. Or will it just be this kind of secret center of, you know, cruelty? I mean, will media, what might be concerned is, will media have access to it, and will they have the willingness and the, you know, the mission to actually kind of describe what to me looks like it could be, if it's actually carried out, just a big long string of tales of human misery. I guess like this is one of those cases where I'd love to see Trump is lying, because he does lie about a lot of stuff. I'd love to think that this is just some sort of demagogic myth that he made up and he's not going to do it. But I'm just worried he is. I'm scared to death that this country is going to commit a heinous act of cruelty toward immigrants.
He might, to take nothing away from that. But I've always said he has set up the ultimate win-win. He either gets a win by doing X, which in this case is mass deportations, or he gets a win when he tries to do it, a court blocks him, and he knows a court's going to block him, but it enables him to go, you see, I was going to do this, but the deep state, it kept me from doing it. I mean, he, give him credit for figuring out how to turn failure into success, even when he fails at being cruel.
Yeah. I mean, well, we'll see what the courts do. I mean, the courts have been, you know, in the first Trump administration, the courts stopped a lot of the crap. You know, there was this kind of talking point from Republicans that, well, he's not going to do bad fascist dictator things in the second term because he didn't do them in the first. Well, he tried to do them in the first.
Yes, he did.
He attempted a coup, Pat. I mean, this idea that, well, he was, you know, he didn't do bad things in the first 4 years. He attempted a coup.
So much memory holding that's going on here.
And so, and people in the administration, you know, kind of a long time, what they like to call the deep state on the right, but really responsible people in government who knew how rules worked, stopped him from doing many of the things he wanted to do. And so this idea that there are safeguards and that there are, you know, there are barriers to him just following his whims, I'm not relying on that. I think that that's, I just don't think that the guardrails are going to hold this time.
And last thing is that once again, and we'll get into this another time, there will once again have never been a more important time for investigative journalism.
Yes.
And for their companies to back them when they start catching heat. You can get all this from Mark's newsletter at stopthepresses.news. Mark, thank you so much. We'll be off next week, but I'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
All right, take care. When we come back, we'll have Dan Schumacher here. We'll try to end with a little sports note heading into the weekend on Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project. Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
It is absolutely disgusting for conservatives to suggest that because someone is poor or struggling, that they lack judgment. If anybody needs morality policing, it's rich folks, for crying out loud, not people who are struggling to put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that. And if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the Talk of Lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
All right, little Grateful Dead, as always, to start the weekend for us on this Friday morning, coming up on 7:52. Must mean Dan Schumacher is here along with Greg Bach. So educate me on this week in Grateful Dead music.
Well, this song is called Standing on the Moon. So okay. I think it was written in the 80s, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a later one on one of their later albums, but...
It's a 89.
Like built a lot of their songs, it's about death.
Oh, great. Well, so much for ending on a happy note this week, kids.
Yeah, right.
When are we going to just set you guys up with a podcast of just you two talking about dead songs and dead concerts and all of that? I mean, I think
it would be historic.
It would be wonderful.
Yeah.
It would be.
I mean, would you guys just do it on your own, or would you want a complete dead rube like me coming in going, you know?
No, you got to
tell me about this.
You got to have somebody who doesn't know the material well,
yeah.
But they have to be interested in learning. They don't have to. That's the whole thing is, I can never force you to like something I like, yeah. But if you have the interest of learning and appreciating it, that is so much cooler because. Having your perspective is different then, you know what I mean? Like,
yes,
that I'm smelling a podcast, Civic Media or Courier News.
That's what I'm saying. We're dropping the hints here. Do either one of you have an example? I'm sure you do of a friend or somebody who was like, you know, really skeptical, like, oh, you, and now they're as much a fan as you guys are.
Yeah,
actually, some of my friends, my friends are starting to dig them. Like all of a sudden, they're starting to wear dead T-shirts, and it's not just because it's fashionable, but they're really starting to get into it, and they're listening to Fish. And there's a new jam band out there called Goose, and they're fantastic as well.
Yep.
So, like, I feel like the stigma of jam band is going away, and people are just listening to the music and allowing themselves to enjoy it.
Yeah, I like that. Okay.
Yeah, I guess we've had Dougie Brezina's really gotten into it ever since I took him to his first shows.
Oh, okay.
He's been, he's been into it back in Chippewa. So
you hear that, Dougie? You get a shout out from Dan on this.
Yeah.
People going, hey, don't you guys talk about sports? Look, it's a bye week for the Packers. It's a bye week for the Badger football team. They're not playing this weekend. The Milwaukee Bucks. How did you put it, Greg?
The Milwaukee Bucks suck less
after winning last night against Utah. So now they're 2-6 on the season.
Where's Badger volleyball? Because it was somebody from last week that threw a text at us about Badger volleyball.
Yeah, after Nebraska took them out in straight sets, I kind of fell off the train there. I'll get back on.
I wanted to mention, last year, Lauren Carlini, Olympian, Badger. She's an assistant coach now with the team. Actually, my daughter and her played together in high school. So the Badgers, when they hired Lauren to be their coach, I thought they were going to really put it over the program over the top. It just hasn't clicked yet. But Badger volleyball is still a very strong program countrywide.
That's right. Before I forget, Bears are playing this week. Obviously, they're off.
They are. They're at home, but man, I listen to Chicago radio 670 AM. The Score a lot. Probably listen to it in my car ride windshield time on my way back to Chippewa today. But there's such dissension in the locker room between the coach and players, and you know the fans want the coach fired, but polls the general manager hasn't pulled the trigger yet. There's a lot of dissension going on because of how we've lost those last two games.
Okay.
and some of it had to do with coaching errors.
So the Bears are hosting the New England Patriots Sunday at noon. Yep. The Vikings play the Jaguars at noon on Sunday. So
I saw the TV market. So up here, they'll get the Vikings game.
Okay.
Get the Vikings game up north here. I don't know what a chip was like. I didn't remember where the map cutoff is for regional coverage.
It's such a goofy map. Couldn't figure it out even if I tried.
Something about the NFL as well. These last couple of weeks, the referees have been getting a lot of heat in a lot of games because they're missing calls.
Yeah.
They missed a bad late hit last night on Joe Burrow. They missed a face mask on Joe Burrow. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, the big one was the Vikings quarterback in the end zone.
Yep.
With his face mask being pulled. The refs are just not doing it, or they're using favoritism towards, like, the Chiefs this past week. So, yeah, there's a lot of things that are going wrong with the NFL right now. It's not
Yeah, they're going to have to rethink how, you know, booth reviews.
Booth reviews, correct, right.
Being able to be more, initiate more of them. Mm-hmm. Let's talk briefly about the business of sports, especially in baseball, only because this is the time of year where either players are given new contract offers or they're not and they're allowed to become free agents. And I have no idea how this year is stacking up compared to previous years, but it just feels like there's a lot of names on the Brewers where the team is going, we're not gonna give you an offer, and we'll just see. And I was poo-pooing it last year, and yet look at what kind of a season the team had. So
yeah.
I'm not trashing it, but I'm curious as to the number of players who have not been invited back.
Well, I mean, since I'm a Cubs fan, the first one that comes to my mind is Kyle Hendricks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's been their mainstay pitcher for the last 8 years, and they're just letting him go. They're not even making him an offer.
Yeah.
So he's a free agent, and he'll be going somewhere. I don't know. I think I heard Joe Maddon was pretty interested in him out there for the West Coast because, you know, he pitched for Joe Maddon as well when he was the Cubs manager. So, yeah, I agree with you, Pat. There's all kinds of movement, but I don't know what they're trying to do. I don't know what the Bucks or the Brewers are trying to do when – they have room in their salary cap to get some big names.
Well, and they'll never spend money. They'll never ever. They're not taking Devin Williams and putting him in arbitration for $2 million.
And yet, though, Matt Arnold named GM of the executive of the year. So apparently, they think he knows something. With that, we got to go. Dan, have a great weekend.
See
you guys in a couple of weeks. Greg Bach is back at 10 for Matt and Air on Air. And again, we will have Todd Alba here Monday and Tuesday, Matt Rothschild Wednesday and Thursday, and Luke Mathers here next Friday. Up North News is the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. I'm Pat Kreitlow. See you in a week. Have a great weekend. We'll see you back here up north real soon.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Alball Show.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, we explore the career of the great John Candy. And it's a bar band Friday night, so our friend and Max Inc. radio host, Terry Barr, drops by with new music and fun conversation.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.